2012. Brand new year. Whole year stretching out before us. There's something that is intriguing about the new. Even though we go through this every year, there's something intriguing about the new. I'm not real sure what the reason is behind all the explosives at midnight, taking out the old and bringing in the new. I'm not even sure where they all came from, what direction they came from last night, this morning. There were some big booms. Thought maybe we were getting close to the front lines of cartel battles. Wasn't sure where it was all coming from. Yeah, it's hard to say. They echo up and down the valleys around here, you know, over the hills. But we're intrigued. There's something about this changeover, this new, that intrigues us. We like new things. We like new things so much that when we get a new vehicle with 100,000 miles, we still call it new. Because we like things new. It's not brand spanking new, as we used to say when I was a kid, but it's new to us. Even Goodwill clothes. Oh, is that new? Yeah, I just got it. It was worn by somebody else for however long. It doesn't look like it was old. That's, you know, that's the consolation of buying something at Goodwill or St. Vincent, whatever. This thing about new, this intrigue with the new, is something like a breath of fresh air. After being cooped up in the house all winter long and it's finally spring coming on, it's wonderful to throw open the windows and leave the door open and have a breath of fresh air. Or in the summertime when it's hot, the rains come, and the freshness that follows, the newness that follows that rain. This time of year, this day of the year, we are automatically drawn so many times to the new year, and with the new year, it's New Year's resolutions. I don't know how many of you have kept yours from last year. I think Jonathan is claiming that he kept his. He wasn't going to fill out any Bible school information cards this past year, and he said he made it. Youth camps, camp meeting, revivals, youth challenge, whatever it was he went to, and groups were there from the Bible schools trying to get all the young people, even though they've got their information for the last 3 years, they want it again. And they have the information from three other kids in the family, they want it again so that they can send out four cards now instead of three. He said, no more, I'm done. He said he made it. Sounds a little rude to me, but he said he made it. Well, I've come up with a New Year's resolution this year for myself. I'm resolving, be it resolved, that I will hold all preaching to 10 to 15 minutes. Now, we did hear Wednesday that New Year's resolutions were meant to be broken. Be it resolved, I will begin next week. A little bit like a diet starting tomorrow, if you can put the two together. Everything's new, though. We want new. We look for the new. Perhaps one of the reasons why we anticipate the new is because we have become dissatisfied with the old. We look over the last year. Maybe some wouldn't necessarily hold that to a year of looking back, but they would look back over lifespan, the unknown years that someone accumulated this week. we can look back over the year or that span of years, and there's probably in every one of our lives, there's something, at least one thing somewhere that we would kind of like to go back and change. If I could do it over. And while we can think about that and we wish for something like that, it may not always be a good thing to wish for, because quite often those things that we would like to change, God allowed to bring to pass to teach us, or God used those things to make us a better person today. And so if we say, I'd like to change something and make it new, so to speak, we may be changing or thwarting God's perfect will or plan to bring us to where we are today. But on the other hand, there are some things that we would like to go back and do differently because it led down the wrong road. I'm reminded, and perhaps I've said it before, of the old Arabian fable of Aladdin's lamp and the schemer that was walking, going door to door. New lamps for old, he said. New lamps for old. Anybody that had an old lamp could bring out their old one and he would replace it with something nice, shiny, and new. And what an intrigue it is. You know, we don't want necessarily, very few anyway, want the old laying around. There are some people that like to collect the antiques, but some we just want something new. We think new is more usable. And so he was successful in getting the lamp, that one lamp that he wanted. That's a fable. That's a story that somebody imagined. But there is a true story on this first day of January, a first day of a new year, of another man that is crying out for an exchange. Only he's not crying out new lamps for old. He's crying out new lives for old. New lives for old. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The new year brings along new resolutions, and with the new resolutions, New Year's resolutions, quite often the New Year's resolutions represent a new leaf. You've heard that before, I'm sure. The turning over of a new leaf. An attempt in that turning over a new leaf to correct the errors of the year past or the days past, the errors of their life, and they're going to try their best to turn over a new leaf. That's not what Jesus is asking. It's not what he's calling out, a new leaf, but he is calling out a new life. Not just a flip over of an old leaf, but a change, a new life is what he's calling for. When I think about the call of Jesus Christ, his call offering a new life for the old, I see two parts in the call. First of all, I see his part, the call of Christ. I can see in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 that Jesus tells us that he stands. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. That sounds kind of silent except for the sound of the knocking of the door. But the next phrase said, if any man will hear my voice. So while he is standing there knocking at the door, he is proclaiming, he is calling with his voice, new lives for old. The second part to the call that I see is not only the call of Christ, but I see it's the call of the sinner. Because somebody on the inside has to respond and answer the call. We get all messed up sometimes with how difficult it is to make the call. We can find in Scripture, actually Acts chapter 2, verse 21 tells us a little bit about the simplicity of the call. It said, call on the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. Or whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That may not really describe the simplicity of the call as well in your mind as what maybe another story would. And I would think, how simple could it be when we look at the life of Peter? Peter steps out of the boat and he goes to Jesus walking on the water. And you know the story quite well, I'm sure. And Peter takes his eyes off of Christ and he sees the waves and the wind blowing around him. And he starts to swim. He has to tread some water. There wasn't any great theological debate going on in his mind. It wasn't so much of a whole bunch of logical niceties or philosophical persuasions. There wasn't any kind of an inner debate that was taking place in the heart of Peter at the time when he was treading water. It was simply a simple call, and his simple call was expressed in few words. He said, Lord, save me. You can look it up. It's not hard to see it. It's there in Matthew 14, verse 30. Lord, save me. It's pretty simple. The Sunday school lesson this morning brought out the idea that Jesus was teaching us how simple it was. He said, as a child, we become as a child, the simplicity of a child, to understand that this new life comes from Jesus Christ. The call of Christ and the call of the sinner. Whoso shall call, whoever will call on the name of the Lord. There's a lot that must be said about the name. How important is a name? How important is a name? You know exactly how important it is. If I were to write you a check for $100,000 or Donald Trump would write you a check for $100,000, you know exactly how important the name would be on that check. I forget the figure of his worth, value, and monetary means today, but there's no comparison. I don't even belong in his shadow. And so if I were to give you that size of a check, you would know full well that you could safely rip it up and not have any damage done to your estate. But if you were to damage the check that he wrote, it would probably be your loss. You see, that's how valuable it is when it comes to who we call on. Call on the name of the Lord. I think so often of those people that put so much emphasis on calling on the Virgin Mary or the prophets of old or the apostles of old, and they spend so much time emphasizing these, and specifically the Virgin Mary. When it indicates to me in John chapter 2 and verse 5 that Jesus told or Mary told the servants that were at the marriage supper in Cana of Galilee, the very first things that were spoken in relationship to the first miracle that Jesus was about to do in obedience, and the words that were spoken were a command from Mary, as it were, that they should obey Jesus. He said, well, you look it up, John 2, 5. Mary said to the disciple or to the servants, whatever he saith unto you, do it. I think that holds a lot of weight for us today. Call on the name of the Lord. When we think about the newness of this life that he presents, that he wants to give, the call of Jesus, the call of Christ, the call of the sinner, in response, I realize that there is a great challenge that takes place. A great challenge that is brought to the person. Sometimes we don't really see the challenge because we're brought up in it. We've seen it so often. But people who have not been born and raised in the church realm that you and I are privileged to have been born and raised in, some people have a tremendous challenge that is brought to them in this call. And we ought to see it as well. The songwriter saw it. When the songwriter penned the words, "Gulf that separated me from Christ, my Lord." "It was so vast," he said, "that I could not ford." So whether we grew up on the wrong side of the religious tracks or on the right side of the religious tracks, we have to understand that there's a gulf that is separating us from the demands of Christ. "It was so vast, the crossing I could never ford. From where I was to his demand seemed so far. The writer went on to say, but he came to me." You see, Jesus spanned the gulf. He takes the challenge that is presented to a person of coming to a new life, and he makes it so much easier. Oh, I realize that there's still a challenge because people are bound by sin, chained by sin. Satan's hook is what we would call the power of sin. Some people, thank God, have never had to experience the bondage that sin brought. They just experienced sin because it was carried over. And at an early age, they gave their heart and life to Jesus Christ, and Christ became their Savior. And they didn't have to endure and didn't have to deal with the chains. But when somebody has experienced chains, the bondage of sin, then the challenge increases because that person has to get past all of their doubt. And Satan brings up doubts into a person's mind and a person's heart that has been chained by sin. The challenge goes even beyond that. They have to get past their own sin, the degradation of their sin or the depths of their sin, the how that God, as a holy God, could ever look on them and how God could ever forgive their sin, their particular sin. And so it becomes a challenge to them to get past, even though Christ spanned the gulf. For some people, the challenge is also that they have to get past their own effort. Have you ever tried to win your way to heaven? Buy your way to heaven? Work your way to heaven? People do it. Sometimes we could be guilty of it as well because we can lose sight of the saving grace and think that what's going to get us there is what we do and the way we do it. Get past our efforts. There is a challenge. But also, we have to realize that there is a change that is brought to the person that rises to the challenge. For by grace are ye saved through faith. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And there's a new life. There's a new change that takes place. We're intrigued with the new. This newness of life is a new position in Christ, is what we can say. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. Paul said in Colossians 1:27, Christ in you is the hope of glory. What do the next 365 days hold? We don't have much hope in this world. But Christ in you is the hope of glory. a hope that is not diminished by the circumstances and the hopelessness that is around us in this life, but a hope that is unchanging, a hope that is steadfast, a hope that is built upon the foundation that we sang about in singing this morning. It's a hope that is founded in Jesus Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Have you seen somebody who was born anew? The fresh new birth of a Christian, the change of their life, the change of their personality. I can point to people in my past, in my memory, I can think of people who were sinners. Everybody knew they were sinners. There wasn't a doubt in anybody's mind that they were sinners. They lived that kind of a life. It was horrible in so many ways. And yet when they came to Jesus Christ, the change that took place. Then there's others that were not just out and out sinners. They were good people, as good people would go. But when they got saved, you could still see the complete change in their life. The personality change almost. The changes in their way of doing things. The change in their outlook. Their change in their uplook. The change in their heart. The change on their countenance. There's heads nodding. You've seen people like that. You've experienced it perhaps yourself. And the reality of the change, it's a new position in Christ, a new personality in Christ, or a new creature, as what we would find in this verse, a new creature in Christ Jesus. With that new position and that new personality, there's also new potential. You say, what is the potential? Well, look at it again. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. What potential? What a potential. You see, that is a new vision. That is new feelings. That is new wants. That is new desires. That is a new life. Old has passed away, and all has become new. That's the call of Jesus Christ on this first day of a new year, new lives for old. Is the old life weary? Is there something in the old life, in the year past, that you want to go back and change because it has brought grief to your heart? Something that you have said, something that you have done, something somewhere in your life that is a dark spot of a sin stain, you want to go back and change? It has spoiled your life. Jesus is saying, I give new lives. The old life is wearisome. Let me give you new. Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, you that are weary and heavy laden. We looked at that a few weeks back. Come unto me and I will give you rest. Again, that verse and that passage is speaking about the new life that Jesus wants to give. You want to start over on this new year? Do you want to begin again? You want to have a fresh start. That's what the new year is all about in many people's minds. It's a fresh start. Well, you can do that. It doesn't just have to be a one-time thing of the year, a beginning of the new year to say, oh, I want to turn over a new leaf. But it can really be a change, a new fresh start as a new life is born within. Change. New life. A new life for old. Let's stand together with our heads bowed. It's my wife to play. I don't know your heart this morning. I don't know where you all stand. But if there's something about your life that you want to have fresh, you want to have new, why don't you come and let Him do it this morning? Why don't you come and let Him change that and give you a new life? Not a fabled schemer. Jesus is offering something real. New lives for old. A fresh start for a new year. just as I am, without one plea. Somebody want to come and pray this morning? Going to wait long. I'm going to ask her to play it through one more time. If you have a need this morning, you want to change, have a change in your life, come to Jesus Christ. Want to come this morning? Somebody else need to come this morning? If you need to go, please go quietly. Otherwise, those that can, let's gather in and pray with this precious young lady that's come.